Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we are watching episode 424, Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 6, Wishes on the Water.
It aired March 9th, 2002, written by William Winkler, directed by Koichi Sakamoto, the all-star team that brought you episode 1.
Which was okay.
Second best so far. But last episode was good. Maybe we're going to trend back upwards. Who knows? So far, all I know is that Suzy Shimoyama is maybe my favorite writer of the season. And the wink is number 2, categorically. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs. And you should, because we asked.
Yep.
Please?
You should. So you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. When we get frustrated over Cole immediately doing yep. The opposite of what he says he's going to do. All the time. Constantly. Anyway, without any further ado, we're going to go watch this episode. Wishes on the Water?
Yeah.
Wishes on the Water.
Wild time!
And we're back, and we just watched Wishes on the Water, which sounds like a Hallmark Channel original movie.
Yes, it does.
It sounds like Leighton Meester and some handsome but ultimately faceless man have a boat company together and gotta save this town from the evil corporation that wants to eat the water.
Yep. Yeah, it's Nestle. They're coming in to take the water.
Nestle's coming in. Ooh, too real. Hey, it's kind of bullshit that companies can buy water rights, huh?
Yeah.
There's like a lot of towns in Mexico where they can't drink the water because Coke owns it, so they can only drink Coke, and it's causing them terrible health problems. So, cool job, capitalism. Thanks for coming. I did not intend for this to take this tone immediately. HeyJackandJosh.com/MorphinGrid is our website. You can go there and listen to old episodes. All the dusty episodes on the shelves. Not the new hot fresh ones. Like such hits as the last one and the one before. And I haven't edited them, so I haven't named them yet.
Right. But
you can go listen to Turbo episodes like the Jacket episode. Or Zio episodes like... I don't remember any names from any Zio episodes.
I cannot remember the Phantom of the Opera name, what we called it.
I know the actual name, and that's kind of rare. A lot of ones like, I know what we called it. Anyway, you can go listen to old episodes there. The Lost Galaxy should be up soon, but maybe by the time you hear this, because it's like 2 weeks out from when we record it.
Maybe. Anything can happen here at Hey Jake and Josh.
It's the Wild West. Who knows what's going on? You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @MorphinGrid. We're on Fuji Podcasts. We are on Google Play and Stitcher and Podknife and Podbay and Podbottle.
Pods on the Water.
Pods on the Water and Podbottle are subsidiaries of Podwish.com, and where you submit a forum that says, I wish I would get a podcast, and then we send one to you in a bottle. There's a flash drive in a bottle, and you open it up and you put it in your computer, and there's a good chance it's going to be rabbits, which is getting a season 2, baby! That's right. This podcast and this podcast alone has influenced the entire world into giving me specifically a second season of rabbits. I don't know how they're going to do it. The finale was total bonkers madness that makes zero sense and kind of destroys the premise of rabbits, and I love it.
Oh, well, they just carry on like that didn't happen then.
Maybe. Or maybe they're going to go, was that the world rabbitsing itself?
And now we're in double rabbits.
Double rabbits. Boom, boom.
Only the rabbits can see the rabbits. Or no, even the rabbits can't see these rabbits. I think that's how it would go. But the other rabbits
can see them. Those rabbits are called hares.
Rabbits too, hares.
That's honestly, it's that or rabbits too, bunnies. And I don't know which one I like better.
Rabbits too. You don't know Jack.
I'm just excited for all my friends, Carly Parker, the rest of them, to come back and talk to me about a game that controls the universe. Oh, I love that dumb podcast so much.
Maybe this season, two people will pee themselves.
Ooh! I should be so lucky. At the end of the last one, they were like, hey, Yumiko? Was that her friend's name? Like, Yumiko, the guy who you thought was Concernicus Jones, was actually like a mentally unstable person, and he kidnapped her and drugged her, and then you got drugged, and that's why you saw all of rabbits, even though that's not how recordings work. A tape recorder cannot hallucinate, unfortunately for you rabbits. But then in the end, they find an arcade machine that has her name as like the winner of Rabbits 9, and so the 10th game is afoot. A lucky rabbit's foot. If you want to go to Patreon, I don't know where we go from here. Leave us a rating and review. Listen to rabbits. Join me on this trash pile where I am the king raccoon. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you get some cool stuff in return. You get early episodes, bonus episodes, all sorts of things. We're getting pretty close to another batch of Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes, which means I need to mail you a DVD copy.
Yes.
Of that. So we can watch it, because you can't just watch mine. And then there will be two people that I know of that have this on DVD.
And it's you and me.
Here's the thing. It's gone up. It was $7 when I bought it. Seven or nine bucks. It's like $12 now.
Oh, dang. They got that hot demand.
From this guy. And if DHX Media would just return my emails, maybe I could own it. Maybe. We don't know. This is a Friday episode. This might be our first. This is our second Friday episode. So we got one new patron. I don't know why I'm looking. I know it's Brendan. Brendan is a new patron.
Thank you, Brendan.
That's the same Brendan that's Sonata Waves on Twitter.
Oh, nice.
So thank you very much, Brendan. We didn't get any new ones since we read all 147 of you 2 days ago, real time. But also, I do want to remind everybody that we have a Discord. And the Discord link, you have to go on your own rabbit's treasure hunt to find it on the Patreon, because it's buried deep down there. I will get another link from Riley or Matt is the other mod, I think. I will get another link and I will repost it soon. But yeah, it's in there. And here's another thing. If you are a patron and you had to stop being a patron, that's fine. We do not begrudge you for that. Things happen. That's, you know, it's your money. You got to take care of you first. But if you are on the Discord because you were a patron, and you stop being a patron, you can stay on the Discord. It's not directly connected to the Patreon. So, like, there's nothing, like, keeping you off.
Yeah, it's just a secret link.
Yeah, it's just a secret link.
Don't tell anybody the secret link.
Don't tell anybody the secret link.
Because there's a secret to everyone.
And I will know, because I can see the list of who has access to the secret link and not. But yeah, so like you can just stay on the Discord and just like still hang out and talk even if you have to stop being a patron. Like, that's totally cool. I don't think we've ever said it before, but just throwing that out there to you, our friends. We got a couple emails. First one is from Lewis, the very serious Lewis, a personal fave of ours. Lewis says, "Hey, Jake and Josh, I hope you're doing well. I won't get into my business since I have some truth to drop on you." Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, here we go. "I believe that the entire Time Force season is a predestination paradox, aka a bootstrap paradox, meaning the only reason Time Force exists is because Rantic went back in time, and then Time Force went back to stop him, making it so people would want to make more advanced technology, eventually making Time Force." I don't think you're wrong.
No, I think that tracks.
I think that makes sense. I think we talked about that because, like, I think in one of the last episodes, you were like, shouldn't there be information on how Rancic went back to the year 2000? Lewis then goes on to say, I believe Circuit was always being monitored, and the information that they were being given about the past was always being manipulated. When Alex showed up, I was certain that they just used that magical crystal ball to revive him, or he wasn't actually dead and then just didn't check. I feel like she would have, but I also know that she immediately ran after Rancic with murderous intent, so maybe she didn't have time. And that he had actually been conscripted into a covert Black Ops division of time, or time division of Time Force. I'm in the Time Force time division. I know we're all time division, technically, but I'm in the special one. I won't get into the crossover, but it would explain how certain characters look when they come back. Ooh, okay, good to know. Have a good one and keep the tinfoil hats on, from the very serious Lewis.
Well, now I'm going to have to keep my eye out for any changes in appearance. Maybe Lucas has that Scorpion King hair.
Ooh, maybe he's got a burnt off tattoo.
Oh.
And a little note from Ares saying, you will one day be this rock, the Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Or whatever that, I don't remember how it ended. But I like that. I think it kind of makes sense with Claire's, that like Time Force only happened because Time Force happened.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. The problem with time travel is that it can't make any sense. Right?
Nope, no. Like, you there's just no can't. Way.
The only, like, the people, like, have you ever seen the movie Primer? I don't know if you've seen the
I
movie
have not.
Primer. It's a time travel movie, but, like, made by scientists, or at least the script was written and, like, consulted on by scientists, like, physicists. So,
is this like a hacker situation, though, where they just messed with them?
No, it's like trying to figure out real time travel.
This is totally real time travel science. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. But like the conceit to Primer is that like you go in the time travel box, and however long you're in the box is how long you go back in time. So you can only go as long as you stay in there.
I see. So it's a 1-to-1.
Yeah.
Ratio of time travel.
And I don't know if they explain it this way, but the way that I, because it's been a grip since I've seen Primer, but the way that I see it is that like time is moving and you get in the box and that pulls you up. So time keeps moving forward and then you just kind of come back down where time was. You
know, like that's, I like, see.
That's how it makes sense to me. So like there's that makes like a very regular kind of sense that like I think is pretty easy to grok. Anything past that is just like, this can't happen. Can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because as soon as you get back into time and you mess with anything in the past, everything ahead of that is different.
Is affected, unless it was already affected, in which case, how was it if you haven't time traveled yet? Whoa! Like, so,
the
yeah,
only way that there can be time travel is if there always is time travel.
That's the other thing is there's like a real theory that like time travel can only go as far back as when the first time machine was turned on.
Right.
Which makes sense, but doesn't, because the first time machine can't do anything for a while except go forward. Maybe.
Yeah, it makes sense in the way like this is how we can explain this.
Yeah.
But this is why no one has popped up in 1992.
Right.
To like tell us about the internet. You know, but like,
yeah,
it doesn't help.
No, I mean, my favorite comic is Planetary, and not to spoil the last issue, but it's built around time travel can only go as far back as to when we turn this time machine on. Like, as soon as we turn it on, then time travel can happen.
But then what if you take the time machine back? Could you just keep taking it back infinitely?
I don't know if you can.
If it's with you and you take it back, then that's where it is on.
I mean, but it's, yes, but it's big. It's big, though. You can't just, like, pick it up
I see.
And put it in. It's, like, this weird field thing. It's a whole, it's whatever.
And then if I time travel, if I go back in time, if I get in a time machine and go back in time, mm-hmm. am I gone in the future? Did I go?
Back in time, right? Like, so if, like, right now, if I flip open my time travel app on my phone and I hit travel back to I want to go back to 1984 and see Ghostbusters in the theater, right? I mean, I could also go back to 2013 and see it in the theater because that's when I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, but you could see it opening weekend.
Yeah, I want to see it like that day. I want to see it Ghostbusters Day, baby. So I do that. Am I gone until I come back, or do I come back immediately when I say, take me back?
Because if it physically removes me from the present slash future timeline and puts me, another me, in the past timeline, what does that do?
Well, that's basically the plot of Primer, is that there's a bunch of hymns running around and...
oh, man.
And it's spooky. It's kind of a time travel horror movie.
Time
and
travel
I like
Fight
it.
Club would be bonkers. Like, you just, two of you travel back in time and fight yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but then you, maybe it's Time Cop rules where you, same matter can't occupy the same space, turn into Ivan Ooze. You go, and then you're goop.
Well, then the parents have to eat the gack.
Then the parents got to eat the gack.
And that gack is you.
Anyway, thank you very much, Lewis, for taking us on a 6 to 7 minute tangent about time travel because it's bonkers, it makes no sense, and we never have to worry about it again. You know what we do got to worry about? That's not true. We do have two episodes that we got to worry about it because it's a crossover. But we do got to worry about animals. And Benny sent us an email about animal facts.
Oh,
animal
perfect.
Facts number one, gang cats. Okay, Benny, you've got my attention.
Cats? Like a meow, meow, meow
yes.
cat? Okay.
Gang cats. Like if the Foot Clan, but cats.
Okay.
Benny says, hey, I absolutely love animals. So here's what will hopefully be a series of animal facts to celebrate Wild Force. Starting off with lions. Scientific name for lion is Panthera leo. It wasn't clear to me how many subspecies there are because there's been debate back and forth on classifications. Their closest living relatives are tigers, leopards, and jaguars. Jaguars.
Jaguars. The red jaguars.
If you're Kurt Frog. They're able to crossbreed with tigers and leopards, making ligers or tigons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the difference is. I think
the difference is which one is the male and which one's the female.
Right.
I can't remember the order though.
I also don't know. So then leopard and lion would be either a lionpard or a leone.
A leone.
Leone. lions live in grasslands and savannas, but not forests. I've always hated that lions get called king of the jungle when they don't live in jungles. Same.
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating.
It's very frustrating. They're mostly found in Africa, but small population does live in India. Their range once included Europe.
Oh, wow.
Back, can you imagine medieval times? You're just like being a knight, like, yeah, cool, I'm going to trot around a little hamlet, see if anyone needs anything. Oh, goddamn, a lion!
Well, maybe they lived in forests in the European time.
Ah, and they called them jungles.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know. Is a jungle just a wet forest?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then jungle, what's a rainforest?
A wetter forest.
Okay. A rainforest and a jungle are not the same?
I think they probably are more similar than a lot of people are willing to admit.
Okay. I honestly don't know what the difference is.
I feel like when you take a step back and you look at them side by side, you go like, well, that one's wet and this one's also wet, but maybe this one is just humid and this one rains more. I don't know.
Is woods a forest?
Woods is a forest. Yeah. What? Yeah. What else would it be?
I don't know. I just always remember when I was a kid, my mom always told me stay out of the woods. She never said stay out of the forest.
Well, because forest is just like rich people woods. Like, I didn't have a forest behind my house. I had woods behind my house because I grew up in a trailer park. The last paragraph for Benny's dope cat facts is they are the only cats with such distinct sexual dimorphism between males and females. A healthier male will have a darker mane, but there are accounts of some female lions with manes and male lions without. Lion heels don't touch the ground when they walk, so now imagine a lion in heels. I don't know how comfortable with that. Maybe they would be fine.
Yeah, if they already don't touch the ground when they walk, then...
They'd probably be great at it.
They'd probably like the extra support.
Final thoughts. Lions sleep up to 20 hours a day. That's all for now. Benny.
Lucky dudes.
I mean, I slept for 10 hours after the Carly Rae Jepsen concert, and boy howdy, was that great. I haven't slept for 10 hours without being sick in like 10 years. It was very nice. All right, I got one from Cameron. It is a little long. I'll just read a couple paragraphs of it. Hi, Jake and Josh. My name is Cameron, and I've been listening to the Morphin Grid semi-regularly since Turbo. Dope. Time Force is actually the first full season of yours I listened to from the beginning to end, and it was very funny and entertaining. That's nice. What we aim for.
Thank you.
I'm keen to see you get to Ninja Storm through SPD, because those were seasons that brought me back into the PR community. The first episode I watched was Trouble by the Slice, and then I watched In Space through Lightspeed as a kid.
Trouble by the Slice, I feel like, is a really good first episode for like a young kid to see.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember exactly the timeline. I know I didn't watch a lot of... I don't think I watched like any of the first half of Turbo when it was on, because I know that was when we were, capital V, capital P, very poor and only had three channels because we weren't going to pay for it because we didn't have any money. And then I think I came back around the Jacket episode, like around like the new Rangers, because I remember that. And I definitely remember seeing the pizza episode on TV. And like, that's a good episode to see when you're eight.
Yeah. Like, it's still, out of Turbo, one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All the best and keep up the awesome work. Thank you very much, Cameron. Lightspeed is also very good.
Yeah, Lightspeed is like the dark horse good season that nobody saw coming.
I feel like nobody talks about it. It's just like, oh, it's kind of boring. But like, it's not.
It really wasn't.
Dope. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody needs to watch Lightspeed Rescue again. If you have bad memories of Lightspeed, watch it again. It's dope. This time, just remember that the greatest love story ever told in Power Rangers is in episode 4, and that Ryan and Carter are absolutely dating by the finale. There's no way around it.
Those are the facts. We couldn't tell you that if it wasn't true.
Right? You can't lie on a podcast.
No, that's ridiculous.
We signed an oath.
We'll get canceled.
They'll take away our funding. We won't get a season 11. Are you ready to talk about this episode of Power Rangers Wild Force?
I think I am.
All right. Well, that was 30 solid minutes. So let's see if we can bust through this. We start off with Alyssa reading a story to Danny and Max because they're babies, I think.
Yeah, she's reading them a nap time story.
Danny is enthralled. Max is super duper taking a nap. The story is about a girl who put her wish in a bottle and threw it into a lake. And then her wish came true because of magic.
Yeah.
Or something.
She threw it into Turtle Lake specifically.
So this was written by a local author.
Yeah, this is a local fairy tale.
This is written by Alyssa's professor, and she's reading it to suck up.
Which means that somebody read a fairy tale, changed the locations to something familiar, and republished it.
Yeah, gave everybody Nokia cell phones and JNCOs and said, this is modern times. This took place in Turtle Cove.
I did notice that Max has zip-off pants.
I also noticed that this time.
I did not notice that any other time.
I said, wow, what a distinct time stamp on life. Those pants only existed from 2002 to 2004 and that never again. And I had like 9 pairs.
I did not have any. I did not give in to the zip-off pants.
I bought them to go on the American Heritage Tour. Which was, I don't know if anybody else knows about it if you're outside of the Northeast area, but basically you go from, in our case, Jaffrey, New Hampshire, down to D.C. was the farthest south we went. Is Pennsylvania above D.C.?
Yes.
I feel like it is.
It's like diagonally up.
Okay.
Or west.
We went to, like, basically we went to, like, all the, you know, we went to Gettysburg and Philadelphia to see the Liberty Bell and, like, D.C. and saw all the sights there. And then I think we stopped in Boston on the way down or back to see, you know, like, a harbor and eat at Neiman Marcus and go back up. I don't know. It was just, like a one-week tour. And it was very fun. But I bought a lot of zip-off pants for that. And yes, Josh, I did lose about half of the legs.
See, the only people I ever saw wearing zip-off pants never used the shorts mode.
Why even get them?
I don't know. I guess they just really like that weird line in the middle of the shin.
Yeah, they don't look cool.
They don't, but like they definitely were. Like, that's what fashion. 2002 looks like, is zip-off pants and, like, well, a baggy t-shirt.
We just got over the fact that it was the year 2000.
And, like, a tight tank top.
Right. Yeah. Because like the year 2000, we were like silver and shiny stuff because we're in the future now. And then by 2002, we're like, ah, what if we just get stupid for a little while?
It is above DC, if I'm looking at this map correctly.
I'm terrible at geography, if anyone's
Me too.
Wondering.
I had to look it up. So.
So I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before. If I think about a map of the U.S., the Dakotas are on the wrong side of the Great Lakes. Like, I know they're wrong, so I have to physically, mentally move them back over to be like, no, you go this way. I don't know why. So Cole is looking at a photograph, and he's kind of sullen, and Taylor sees this. And so she pulls out a picture of her own and goes, Cole, did I ever tell you about my squadron? And then goes over to him, and we don't talk about that again.
Nope. We get to see the picture for 1 second, which is definitely her with an army.
Her army buddies in front of fighter jets.
Yeah.
And like, if this doesn't come back up, we're done.
Well, I did, when this episode ended, I did read the description really quick for the next one. And it is about Taylor becoming the first Ranger. So
yes, be still my heart.
So hopefully this is just like a quick foreshadowing for the next one and it like leads through.
Then that's really good. Yeah. I'm very into that if that's the case. So she's like, yeah, here's my squadron. We cut back over to Max, who falls asleep and has a dream about the Rangers getting blown up and a voice. Does he hear the voice yet, or is that later?
He has a dream in that he gets knocked down, and I think he hears the voice, but it's not coherent. So he hears like a mumbling or something. We might hear the word spear, but I think that's about it.
Okay, because then it's the Megazord and everybody else knocked down, and like specifically the shot is like him laying down and his crystal saber flying off of the little podium towards him, and then he wakes up and flips because he just had a bad dream and he's a baby and smacks the book out of Alyssa's hand. I was like, sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
And then so Alyssa's like, were you sleeping? And he's like, oh no, I was totally listening to your story. And then for the next 12 minutes of the episode,
yep,
Danny plays charades trying to get Max to guess what happened, and he's very good at it.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, is that he nails it. But also, before then, he looks back at Alyssa and Danny, and they're crying because the story was so beautiful.
She wrote a wish in a bottle and threw it in the lake, and it came true.
And maybe that's the end, right? Or that's just the end of where they were. So maybe like leading up to it is very emotional. Like, I can't say anything. I spent like literally an hour on my couch crying reading Naruto the other day, just openly sobbing at how good it was.
Well, the book she was reading from is definitely like a mass market paperback romantic novel.
Oh, it's absolutely the same size as all my mom's Penny Dreadfuls, like 100%.
So there had to be more to it than that. Maybe there's a lot of like post wish coming true stuff.
A lot of like making, like getting up to the wish, a lot of like emotional, like, I really need this to happen, kind of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's literally just the story of what happened the day Naruto was born with his mom and his dad, which made me cry for like an hour. Naruto's very good, y'all. Next season's about ninjas. If you don't think I'm going to talk about Naruto a ton during that, you are barking up the wrong dog. So they do charades, like you said, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say long enough.
Yeah, it's so he can guess the whole framework of the story.
Yes.
And then right when he gets to, like, they made a wish in the lake and it came true, and he's like, wait, really?
That's my favorite part.
I thought that was like a good giveaway.
Yeah, and because Danny, and to their credit, like, and I like this about them, is that, like, they're on the same page. Like, they're very good friends. So, like, Danny's doing charades that I was like, what are you doing? But Max was nailing it. So, like, I guess it works for them. Don't play charades against these two. You're going to lose.
Yeah, they have to be on separate teams. It's the only way anyone else will play.
Yeah. Then we cut to Toxica, and she is, as best I can describe it, is sashaying into the org house, palace.
Is she's just like walking the halls, right?
She's like, yeah, she's coming into like the main room.
No, she's in the Org Mud room.
She's in the foyer. She's coming in the Org foyer, and she's just like swinging her hips a lot. You know, if you got it, flaunt it, I guess. And then she peeks into Master Org's.
Before she peeks in, she rounds a corner and she smells a human.
Yes. And then she sees Master Org adjusting his horn.
Yeah.
Like a helmet. And I'm going to be straight with y'all. I want to know more about this mystery.
Same. Like, this episode feels like it's doing a decent job setting up the next one or two.
Yeah. Like, I want to know, because like, she'll talk about it in a minute, in a couple minutes with Jindrax, but like, did Master Org come back a human? Like, I'm very interested to find out what that means.
Yeah, or is this just like a guy pretending to be Master Org?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
And then
is there a human in there with Master Org that...
Oh, that could be too. But if it is just a guy, like, in a Master Org disguise, who is that guy? And why is he doing that?
That makes a lot of sense, too.
That's why he's not threatening in any way. It's because it's just a guy.
It's because it's just a guy. It's just Oleg. Apparently, he's Ukrainian. I think it was Brendan told me that he's Ukrainian, and he tried to hide his accent to varying effect. And after four episodes with him... Yeah, varying. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it sounds like he should be in Das Sound Machine from Pitch Perfect 2. Who are German, so I don't even know why that would be the accent that I hear. Anyway, so we cut to Max. He's at the lake, and then he just kicks a big trash bag because he's 15.
He's mad because before he left the Animarium, when he asked about the story, Taylor came up and said, "That's a fairy tale. You don't believe in that baby stuff, do you, you dumb idiot?"
Okay, so here's the thing I like about Taylor, everything. Here's the thing I specifically like about this is she's like, "You don't believe in that kid stuff, right?" And it's, no, I wouldn't call it playful the way she says it, but it's definitely like, because you're a kid, like, because you're the youngest, like, I'm older than you and I'm going to rib you about this. But he takes it very personally, which is, if that's a sore spot for you, I get it. Because I definitely think he's 18.
I tried to look it up. I didn't get too far into it because I didn't want any spoilers. But I went to his, like, Ranger Wiki page.
Yeah.
And under the, like, you know how there's the picture and then under that is just, like, general details.
Yeah.
No age listed. So I have no idea how old he's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I was talking with Shannon, and she said, like, one of the most frustrating parts of Wild Force is, like, they don't know how old they want Max to be.
Yeah.
Like, they just, like, don't come out and say it. So, like, I feel like he's 15 or 16.
I would say probably he can't be older than 16. I would lean toward 15 just because he's still kind of in the I'm not a baby mode.
Right.
And I feel like by 16 you're, like, thinking about driving a car.
Right, yeah. So, so most people, anyway. I thought about it a lot. I just never got around to it. But yeah, but also, like, he lives on the Animarium. So if he's 16, what happened to his family?
What happened to any of their friends and family? I'm very worried about Taylor's backstory, first of all.
Oh, yes. But anybody else, like Danny's old enough to do it. Like, out in the open. Not like out, not like,
well, yeah, but
in public, but you know what I mean.
But you can tell after.
Alyssa is explicitly at, like, she's in college, like, she goes to the university.
Yeah.
Cole is of age to go on a quest.
He's
so that,
one.
He's 1 year old, which is of age. Taylor was in the army and she's out of service now. And my little brother said that means she's at least 24 or 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I buy, like I totally feel like that. So if you're, like, older, like you can just be like, yeah, I have an apartment somewhere. No, you can't come over. My landlord's weird. It's in the sky. Like, you can't see. But, like, if you're 16, you're still a minor. Like, you should live at home.
Yeah, unless he is 18 and then everyone else is, like, 20 and then Taylor's the oldest.
If he's 18, he absolutely deserves to be called a baby for how he acts.
Yes,
then.
100%.
Like, Taylor
justified.
Is 100% in the right for being like, hey, don't, come on. You literally need to grow up a little bit. Anyway, so he kicks trash and a cartoon message in a bottle pops out. And he grabs it and he puts a wish in it.
He pulls it out of the water and I'm like, don't. That's somebody's yucky trash. Like, you don't know what was inside that bottle.
Yeah, there's definitely, defo trash juice inside and out.
But he uses it anyway. And then he throws it into the lake, polluting the water with a trash bottle.
Yeah. And then Danny comes up and he gets real defensive, right? Because he was doing kid stuff. Right. And Danny's like, hey, what are you doing? I thought Danny's gonna be like, hey, you littering? What the hell, man?
Go get that.
You know better than that. What are you, a baby? But he's like, no, I'm just getting the fresh air. And Danny's like, okay. And he's like, I can't let him see the bottle. And so in my head, I was like, dear the lake, I am Max the Blue Power Ranger. And my wish is that I wish I got a cool skateboard and a Nintendo 64 it's 2002 and a GameCube for Christmas this year. Thanks.
Yeah, and he writes it in crayon with a fist.
With his left hand. And he's a righty, so his R's are all backwards. And they're like, if we find it, we'll know immediately. He signed it 3 times. But then we cut to, let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere else. So then they, like, leave. And then we cut to Toxica, who is on a playground at night brooding.
She's just sitting on a swing.
And Jindrax comes up and is like, blah, gotcha. And she's like, she doesn't say anything, but he's like, no, I didn't. All right, fine. I'll just sit here and do nothing
guess. He's like, if you want to be the brooding princess, we can do that.
Yeah. And I really like this. I think it's really sweet of Jindrax to be like, hey, you seem bummed out. I'm going to try to make you feel better.
Yeah, but also just like, I'm not going to be overbearing. I'm just going to sit here on this other swing and lightly talk to you.
Yeah, I'm just going to be here for you, but not like too much. Like, I'm not going to be too like overbearing. Yeah, it's really sweet. I like it. I like these two. She says, and I wrote this down verbatim because it's very funny. Toxica says, do you notice anything different about Master Org? And this is maybe the fifth time she's asked this question. And then Jindrak says, well, now that you mention it, why? I just like that because he doesn't want to get in trouble, you know?
Yeah, and then she like grabs his horn and tries to move it.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, cut that out. And she's like, I saw Master Org adjusting his horn. And he's like, yeah, right. These things are wicked stuck to our faces, so probably not.
It's our bones? So I don't think they just move. It's not like cat shoulders where they're not attached to anything.
Right. And then, and is that true?
Yeah, they have, their shoulder bones are just kind of like free-floating. That's how they can like squeeze into tight places.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I understand that because my shoulders are also very loose. I have hypermobile shoulders, so I can touch any part of my back. It's a very useful skill to have when showering.
Good when you have an itch.
That's true. There's never been an itch on my back that I was not able to get. So
nice. Yeah. Living a life of luxury over there.
the high life. She's like, well, then how did he move his horn? He's like, I don't know. Maybe you didn't see that. And then we cut away from there to Gold Mist turning into Boatman.
I love Boatman. I love like sunken / abandoned ships a lot.
Oh, hell yeah.
And this dude rules. The monster designs this season. We're in episode, what, 6?
Yeah.
And I'm going to call my shot and say that these might be the best monster designs we've seen so far.
They are really good. They sort of remind me of season 2, where it was like a thing, but a monster, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's like a lipstick monster and a pachinko machine monster and a soccer ball monster and a football centipede.
Yeah.
No, that was season 3.
Those were fine, but they were also like, kind of like, I don't know, silly.
Yeah.
These ones are menacing, but still like, this is still a boat. The other, like the last one was still just a wheel, but like a very menacing wheel monster.
Yeah, but yeah, these ones look really dope. They're not like, what if this person was a monster, but with a gimmick? It's like, what if there was a monstrous version of this thing?
Yeah.
And I really like that. But yeah, he's got a big anchor. He's got a shield that's the boat wheel, the boat steering wheel. He looks like a sunken ship. He's got a bottle lodged on his shoulder, as we will see in a minute. But then the pool does a squirt, and they're like, there's a new org. And so they look, and they see Boatman. And then Max immediately notices the bottle. He's like, that's my wish. In his head, he's like, I gotta stop him before the others find out that I made a wish like a little kid.
Hey, can I just say that there's nothing wrong with being, like, childish sometimes?
Yeah, I, like, especially when you're a kid. Like, and I get when you're younger, you're like, I need to grow up. I need to put away my childish things. I'm into Green Day now. Like, you know. I don't know what kids nowadays do when they get into their Green Day phase. Mine, thankfully, oh, hey, good looking out, past Jake, did not last very long. I think I was in eighth grade when I started listening to and started hating Green Day. I heard one cover of a Pat Benatar song. I was like, what the fuck am I listening to Green Day for? So I guess thank you, Neil. Thank you, Tom Cockle, the lead singer of Neil. Thank you, Bridget. I don't remember your last name, who was guesting and did vocals in that cover. You changed my life. You don't even know it. Where were we? Boatman, pool squirt. Max sees the bottle and flips out. So then they go to the docks, and there's like a fight at the docks. And as you might imagine, Boatman kicks their asses because he's a sunken ship, but a monster, and it's radical. But Max grabs him and jumps into the lake because that's like his thing, right? Like, I'll get my home field advantage.
Right.
But you don't against a sunken ship.
No, a sunken ship also lives at the bottom of a, well, I guess like a sea, but.
Really any body of water.
You could have a sunken ship in a lake.
You can sink them anywhere.
This is true.
You could have a sunken ship in your bathtub if it's small enough or you have a big enough bathtub. So Max then is murdered in the water and he dies.
He does just float there. As if dead.
He's not moving. He's not floating upwards. He's just there in the water. And then there's a big pair of eyes behind him. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did not notice that.
There's big red eyes behind him, which is a spooky.
Is that the ship?
I don't think so, because I think it's the thing that talks to him.
Oh, I think you're right. That makes sense. For what it is, but not, like, it doesn't, like, make sense for what it is.
They're, like, red, spooky eyes, yeah. And I was like, oh, no. But then you find out what it is later, and you're like, you're not red, spooky eyes.
Because Boatman has red, spooky eyes under the nose of the ship that makes up his head.
But unless he projected, I think it was the other thing. So then the next morning, it's daytime, and he washes up on shore, and the Rangers finally find him. He's unmorphed, and they're like, oh, God, Max, you were underwater all night. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm a shark.
He's like, oh, what? And then they bring him up. We cut back up to the Animarium where they are, like, tending to him. And Danny is super mad, which I like. And then they leave to go fight Boatman. Keep that in mind. They're all like, we're going back to the docks to get Boatman. And then Max has another nightmare, and he hears something. It's just basically the same thing, but then he hears something about the Spear of Pardolis.
Yeah.
Or Barbus, as I heard it the first time. Or Parbus, as my little brother heard it. So it's Pardolis, though.
Yeah, it's so weird. We're going to talk about this a little more when it's revealed. But it's just, I don't know. It just has a really weird feeling around it.
Yeah, I can't help but think that this season would own Bones if Cole wasn't
on board so far.
And if they leaned a little more into the, like, ancient stuff that happened, you know, like 3,000 years ago, and like how that relates to what they're doing now. If they, like, leaned a little more into that, and maybe they're going to, because they're starting, you know, it's like, we're only six episodes in the season. We can't be, you know.
Right.
too harsh on that part of it yet, because like, we don't know where how the season's gonna go. But like, if it gets, if that's where they kind of like, I don't want to say focus, but if they lean on that a lot more, I think this season could end up being good. But
it could, the skeleton is there.
Yeah,
the foundation of this season is good.
They just had some rocky episodes right away.
They just they got the house that Jack built on top of it.
Yeah. So, Max wakes up and he's like, "Oh, well, I had a nightmare." And she's like, "A nightmare?" And he's like, "The Spear of Paris or something? I don't know." And she's like, "Well, everybody left to go to the docks to fight Boatman."
And she's like, "I have absolutely no idea what that could mean. I've never heard anything like that before in my life."
Yeah. No, a spear of anything? Nope, doesn't ring a bell. Oh, you're leaving? Bye. So he runs away. He's like, "I gotta go."
I figured out my problem with Shayla. Like, I know I couldn't put it into, like, good words last time, but she's very Disney princess.
Yes.
I think is what my issue is. Like, she's all, like, super goody-good and, like, very positively overacting like a Disney princess, like an old school Disney princess.
Yeah, like a Snow White or a Sleeping Beauty, like where they don't do a lot.
Yeah,
like they're just there.
They're just like, just there. And she's just like, "You need to rest." And he's like, "No, I have to get my bottle. I mean, I can't let him beat the shark in his own lake."
Which I like that.
I wish
but it's
that was
definitely defensive.
I wish that was his real reason.
Yeah.
Because that's very cool.
Yeah. So then he jumps down, he leaves, and he goes down, and he finds there's a riot going, not a riot, but like, you know, this chaos going on. And I hope the stunt actors are getting paid this season. Because the first guy, I rewound it. The first, we cut down to the docks. And a guy runs headfirst into a boat and like knocks himself all asunder. And we had to watch it again because like it was great. And we're like, "Oh, that guy gets wrecked by himself." Another guy like falls down, or it might be a woman. Someone else falls down and like hits the side of a 55-gallon drum and like falls over it. And I was like, I hope these stunt actors are making a lot of money this season because they're putting in work. So then, Boatman's there. Max finds him first, even though the Rangers left and went to the docks. I guess they didn't go to the right docks, but Max knew where he was. He's got shark smell, and he can smell boats a mile away. So then Boatman calls him a kid and kicks his ass.
Yep.
He calls him like a guppy. He's like, I'm not a kid. I'm Surgeon Shark. He's like, yeah, Surgeon Guppy. And it's absolutely the Jedi Digimon voice actor again. Who I love. This is the same voice as the pirate boat man, the second big bad in Lost Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember his name, but it's the same guy. He's been a bunch of monsters because he's like one of Saban's, you know, voice actor people. But he does really good. So, nothing to that. The others show up and they're like, "You all right, Max?" Like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I did just get hit in the face with an anchor, but I'm cool."
I love the anchor. It's like an anchor sword almost. It's like an anchor that he swings like a sword, but it's not a blade, it's just an anchor.
And it's like a hammer.
Yeah.
He uses it like a war hammer, but it's an anchor, but it also has a chain on it that he can throw and bring back to him.
Yeah.
Which is radical. But then the others show up and they're like, "Okay," he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And then they start fighting, and before it gets too into it, Jindrax and Toxica are like leaning on like a playground nearby and they're like, "Oh, you're a big boat, huh?" And he's like, "What do you want?" The boatman's like, "What do you want?" And she's like, "We want to help you." And so they take a cup and they throw it up in the air of nasty yogurt and a bunch of nutties come out. This is apparently a reference. I don't have it pulled up, but Brendan also sent us it. Like, this is a reference to like a good luck thing in Japan.
Okay.
Where like you cast beans or something. I'm probably getting this very wrong, but you cast beans or something and it's supposed to bring good luck, but like the way this is done, it basically is the opposite of that, so it brings bad luck.
Oh, okay.
In the form of nutties.
Yeah, and then my favorite part, I think, of the episode happens because the nutties hit the ground and start running to fight the Rangers, and and Boatman is like, "Who are they? I'll fight them all. I will kick everybody's ass. It's only Boatman."
And then he starts beating up the Power Rangers and the Nutties. Yeah. And Tuxedo and Ginger are like, what are you doing? They're on your side. And he's like, I don't care. And just like hits him with this big old anchor hammer. It's great. Boat Band rules.
Yeah.
So what happens then? I think between the Power Rangers and Boatman, all the Nutties die.
Yeah.
And then Cole is like, he says something and the VO, Cole's actor is pretty serviceable, I think. I think he's pretty good as like Cole unmorphed. His voice acting is always like ratcheted up in a weird way.
It's like the anti-TJ.
Yeah, he's always he's just like saying his lines really loud. He's not really like delivering them. So they're just like loud, but like they're stiff. So he runs, he says something and runs up to Boatman, who just like punches him in the head or hits him with his anchor and then steps on his throat. And they're like, oh no, Cole, that's pretty bad. But then Max sees a crane overhead, not the bird. I know you might get confused. This is an animal season.
Like an industrial crane.
And he jumps up. He's like, that's it. And he grabs it and uses that to swing in and does his blue shark fighting fin attack and cuts his horn off, which is pretty gruesome.
It is a little gruesome, but also he's a duke now.
You're right. And honestly, if any Monster of the Week org has earned a dukedom, it's this guy.
It's probably Boatman because he rules.
For being radical.
Yeah.
But he also... he falls down and the bottle pops out and it breaks. And then Max is like, I'm going to kill you for ruining my wish. Just put it in a... like, no, what? I mean, yeah, I guess because he took it out of the water so it couldn't soak yet.
So the Lady of the Lake couldn't pull it under and read it.
Yeah, or something, I guess. Then they do a salad slash and then Toxica seeds him and then he grows and they call their Zords. And then they call the elephant and they get sword and shield mode. And then Boatman hits him with his anchor four times in a row and it does nothing.
I noticed this time when the elephant was transforming that it's not his tail that's the sword. It's his trunk. It like pulls out from the face.
Okay. So I didn't notice that.
Yeah. So when his head is the shield, there's like an opening where the trunk comes through because the trunk is the whip sword.
All right. I like that.
But Boatman easily deflects the whip sword off with his shield.
Yeah, and this is when he, I think this might be the first time he uses, well, I don't know if it's the first time, it's the first time I noticed that he uses the anchor with the chain on it to just throw his anchor at their face and just knocks them down. And then they get like thrown around and it's just like Max's dream.
And we get a little bit of a Megazord in trouble.
Yeah, because this Megazord fight, by the way, there's like 7 minutes of the episode left. So I was like, there's going to be something happening.
Yeah, when Boatman grew is when we cut to the commercial. And I was like, wow, we're really getting there. Like, we have a back end in this episode to get through.
Yeah, we're like a third, like two thirds done. We still got more to go. So this is a good Megazord fight. It's like, it's long, but not too long. And all the stuff that happens matters. This is like kind of a really great Megazord fight.
And it's like the cool new toy they just got does not work on this monster.
Like immediately. Yeah. So they got to get a newer, cooler toy. And I was not ready for how goofy
this was not at all what I was expecting to come out of this.
Yeah,
this is not the animal that I thought was coming.
So Max is knocked down like in his dream and he hears the voice again. It says, use the spear of Pardolus. And he's like, what? And I guess Shayla heard because she's like, oh, the spear of Pardolus. Why didn't you say
yeah,
so?
Yeah, she's standing over the squirting pool, like, I guess just like listening in on them.
Yeah, I guess it just is like a two-way call to them.
She's just like, let me tap this pool right into Max's brain so I can hear what he's talking about.
Yeah, does Max even say it, or do they just hear? Does she just hear Spear of Pardolus?
She just hears it, and I'm almost positive it's just in Max's head.
Yeah,
because I don't think anybody else heard it, and that's how it worked with Alyssa.
Yeah, last episode, but also Alyssa did not hear them say like, get the shield of Badonkadonk. It's just like. It's just like a... Why does Max get... I mean, like, maybe Max needs a little more information than just an elephant in a wall. So that makes sense. But then she's like, oh yeah, Pardolus was a warrior from long ago that one of his lost Megazord, like lost Wild Zords, was a spear that he used, like had a spear version. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I want, this is more what I want. I'm glad we're finally getting going on the season.
Yeah.
Because like they were rough waters until now. Up until the last episode. So then Max, this is a little goofy. He holds his crystal saber and he goes, Spear of Pardolus, I need your help. And then out from the water bursts a giraffe.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that, on the one hand, I'm of two minds. On the one hand, maybe Max should only get the wet Zords, right?
Yes.
But then there's two big cats already, so like maybe that doesn't work.
That's true.
But also it was in the lake.
It's in the lake. And like, I get that, yes, elephants don't live in caves. I understand that.
Right.
But it's a lot easier for me to believe that there was one in there than that there was a giraffe at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
That speaks English and tells you to use its spear mode.
Unless it's the sort of thing where, like, and I don't know how, like, this will be going forward, but if they're, like, in a place they shouldn't be, that's why they're trapped there.
That
like,
could be.
Elephant doesn't go in cave. They're too big. And giraffe doesn't go in lake.
And then,
even though it could walk down there, it's got a tall neck.
That's true. And the only other thing is, like, after a shark, what cool wet Zord is there?
I noticed for the first time, because I think you said this at least twice on the podcast, is, like, they kind of give away some stuff at the end of the credits. Like,
yeah,
there's just like a bunch of new Zords there, and one of them is a different shark.
A hammerhead, probably.
There's a hammerhead shark. I thought it was going to be like a marlin because it's a spear.
Oh, yeah.
But nope.
That would have been really cool, but instead it's a giraffe.
And I like the giraffe. I think the giraffe is cool. So they call it a giraffe. And then
it starts out, like, when it first just comes out of the lake and it's just a floating yellow CGI giraffe Zord, I'm like, well, that's a silly looking thing.
Yeah.
But it gets immediately very cool.
It starts running towards them, and we cut back to the fight where Boatman is just hitting them in the head with his anchor. Just like, donk, yeah, donk, like, donk, donk.
He's got a foot on their chest and is just pounding them like with a hammer.
It's so good. Then Giraffe comes in and does the giraffe fight thing where they like whip their
just
neck.
Just neck whips him.
Which is like really scary to watch two giraffes fight, but like it's really cool to watch a giraffe fight a boat, I guess. So then Max is like, Shark, you know you're always going to be my number one, but I just got to see what this new guy can do. And so he switches out his crystal, the shark crystal, for the giraffe. And then the arm comes off, and then the giraffe is running and hops on the shark, and the shark gives the giraffe a ride to become new arm.
Yeah.
That's teamwork, baby. I love that.
Yeah, the shark, like, just swims him over, throws it up in the air, where it turns into, like, a spear, like a harpoon arm. That then attaches to where the shark was, and I am so excited
for all the wild combos,
infinite combinations that this Megazord could create.
I can't wait because there's an alligator that is a chest later,
yeah.
And like, yes, feed that to me like grapes, please. So then they do the giraffe spear, which is a murder hook shot, and kill Boatman. He's like, oh, I've been breached or something like that, because it bursts through his shield and kills him through it.
It bursts through his shield immediately after he says, that's not going to get through my shield.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. And then Boatman dies. RIP in peace, Boatman. What a good monster.
Yep.
So good. And then we cut to later, like we go to commercial, we come back, and Max is at the docks later, and he finds his wish in a broken bottle, and he picks it up and he reads it and says, I wish the other Rangers would treat me like an adult.
I wish the other Rangers would throw you in the lake.
Put you in a bottle, chuck you in the ocean.
As soon as the like kid stuff started coming up at the beginning of the episode, I was like, oh no, this is just his thing. This is it for the rest of this season.
And the last time this was the point of the episode, it's the worst episode we've seen so far.
Yeah.
That was two episodes ago.
Yeah, so when he reveals that his wish is to be treated like an adult, on the one hand, if they are like actually treating you like you're a little baby, I get it.
Like, that sucks, right?
But
yeah.
But they aren't.
Like, it's mostly just Taylor ribbing him, but yeah. Also act like an adult. And don't act like what you think an adult is.
Right. Adults don't get visibly heated when you call them a kid.
Yeah.
They don't throw a temper tantrum when you say, hey, that thing you're doing, that's what kids do.
Yeah. Like, adults realize that, like, sometimes you can be 30 to 32 years old and talk about Power Rangers twice a week. That's fine. There's no law against that. There's no right way to be an adult, but there is a wrong way to be an adult, you know? But then Danny comes up behind him very quietly, the silent bison, which would be a better adjective than iron bison. And he hands him a bottle to put his wish in, and it's very sweet. I just really like that a lot.
It's a shame that it's not two better characters, because their relationship is very good.
The best part about these two is their relationship. The worst part about these two is how they are...
Is them by themselves.
If they were... Because even in the first episode, when they were, like, exclusively together, and it was, like, Danny's, like, having trouble saying something, and Max goes, like, yeah, you're right, this thing, to, like, help him out. That was great. Like, that was good stuff. And then the... And when they spend time away from each other, it's like, oh, Danny is a baby, and Max is a little kid. Danny isn't a baby. Danny is baby. I think there's a distinct difference.
Danny is baby, and he's fine with that. Max is baby, and he hates that.
And he does not like that. But together, they're like a good friends, and I like it. But he hands him a bottle to put his wish in. It's very sweet. And he does a big wind up, and he throws the bottle in the lake again. He does more littering. And then we cut back up to the Animarium. I thought the episode was going to end there.
I did too.
But it didn't. And we cut back up to the Animarium. And Alyssa's like, hey, great job with the finding the giraffe. And Cole's like, yeah, that was really dope. And they like, you know, pulls the seat. I was like, yeah, that, like, congratulations. You got a cool new Zord. Like, you saved the day. That was awesome. And then Taylor comes to the other end of the table and puts her hands on it and goes, hey, good job. And it's like a beat. Like, she's going to be like, you messed up, you baby. But like, she doesn't. She's like, hey, good job for a kid. And then Danny's like, what'd you say to me? And she's like, nothing. I didn't say anything. And he jumps over and tries to get her. And then we fade to black again. Well, yeah. And I don't like that we're doing that.
I don't like the fade to black.
We didn't do it for the first four episodes. Why are we doing it now?
I don't know. It's weird. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. But what I do love is that Taylor is clearly the oldest. And she's the oldest the same way I'm the oldest, in that, like, I know how best to get under your skin because I'm right. The oldest in this family. And she does that. And that's like, hey, from me to you, just a little secret. Sometimes people just show their affection that way. As long as it's not too annoying, I think it's okay. But that's the end of the episode. Josh, you started.
I did.
I get to pick the first best. I'm going to say the best is, there's a lot of good things in this episode. I don't actually know. What did I like best?
I was going to give it to, I think, the reveal of the giraffe Zord. Like, from him turning into a spear arm to when Boatman is shot and killed with a hook shot.
That was very good.
I think that's my best for the episode, because it's also like, look, the parts swap out, so this Megazord could be right. Anything.
I think I'm going to give my best to the is Master Org a human now? Like, what's up with that? Like, that whole mystery thing, I'm very interested in.
Yeah, the couple instances of subtle, air quotes, subtle foreshadowing.
Power Rangers subtle.
Are also very good.
Yeah, Maybe instead of like that thing, it's I specifically want to give it to like Toxica and Jindrax, like Jindrax being like, "Hey, you're kind of bumming. What's up? Let me try to help that. Okay, it didn't work once. Well, I'm just gonna be here for you if you need me."
Yeah.
That's very sweet. I very much like that. The worst I'm going to say is, I'm not a little kid.
Yeah, I'm over the not a little kid stuff.
It worked a lot better in this episode than the last time.
If this was built up better, because this is the sixth episode, and this is only the second time this has been an issue for him.
Right.
And so,
if there would have been like two or three episodes of them just kind of subtly treating him like a little kid.
Yeah, or if we had some backstory from him where like he was bullied for being smaller.
Yeah, something.
Or anything. But just taken by itself out of any maybe future context we might get, it's just not working for me.
Yeah. So that's my worst. MVP, I'm going to say, is Boatman.
It's Boatman.
It's got to be Boatman.
As soon as he said he was going to fight those nutties, I was like, that's the dude.
That's it. That's my man right there. It was great. He has an anchor that's a hammer with a chain on it, and he beat up the nutties and the Power Rangers because he just wanted to beat everyone up.
And the Megazord.
And the Megazord. That shot of him standing over the Megazord just clanging it on the brain was so good. Just so good. But now we gotta rank it.
I do have a final thought, though.
Oh yeah, final thoughts first. Yeah.
And that I feel like the lead up to the giraffe is underwhelming compared to what we got with the elephant.
Yeah, it wasn't like the second thing that happened was we got like hints of I mean, it kind of was because we did get the dream where there was like, but we didn't really.
Yeah, but
no.
I think my issue with it is that he didn't have to go discover it like Alyssa did. He just had to be like, please come help me, and then he just got it.
It would have been better if he would have jumped out and dove down.
There was a scene in this episode where he was unconscious underwater where he definitely could have hurt. Well, giraffes don't make a noise that I'm aware of, so I understand why they had to like be like, use the spear.
I feel like giraffes probably do a like a high-pitched moo,
just like a goat shriek,
like a tall goat shriek.
But I just wish, like, when he was underwater, if he had heard something or like saw something and had to go back into the lake to retrieve the crystal instead of it just appearing in his hand.
Yeah, because he's the only person who could go down there and get it.
Yeah,
because he's a shark. Yeah, that would have been a lot better, I think. But he did get it, and that was good. I am very interested in the like. There's 100 Zords. We got to catch them all. Got to catch them all.
There's 100 Zords. We are 6 episodes in, and we have 7.
Yeah. And there are 34, 3 more coming.
There's only 34 episodes left.
Right.
So there's going to be a couple episodes where it's just like, here's 4 more.
Gosh, I hope so.
The whole like, team gets a new set.
Like, oh, dip, here's a whole new Megazord made out of Zords we never saw that were hidden in a volcano. Yes.
Yes.
Please, thank you. So now we got to rank it. So when I was watching it, I was like, number 2. This is not as good as the last episode. Talking through it,
I think it's better.
I think it's number 1.
I agree.
I think it's the best one so far. Good job, Max, despite you being a baby.
Despite you being the worst part of the episode.
Your episode has made it to number 1 with Wishes on the Water.
Boatman's going to be tough to beat. These other orgs better bring it.
Yeah, Bellman was rad. Bellman was, I think, maybe one of the best parts of that episode. Boatman owned Bones.
Yeah.
So
Wheelman? Little hit or miss, little middle of the road.
Cool idea. The final design of Wheelman not as slick as I wish it was, but he did turn into a wheelie from Kirby and could imprison you within the wheel well,
and then just ride off
and just drive away. next episode, which we will be talking about on Monday, is The Bear Necessities. That's right, bear spelt like the animal. I'm pretty excited.
I can't imagine what might happen in that one.
Josh, it could be anything. Do you know how many kinds of bears there are? Like 10.
I can think of 3 right off the top of my head.
I can think of 3 discrete bears. immediately, and then a bunch of subtypes of regular bear.
Yeah, right.
You got your panda bear.
Panda bear.
Polar bear.
Grizzly bear. Those were my three.
You got your bear bear. You got in bear, you got grizzly. You got...
That's what I said. But you sneezed, so I don't think you heard me.
I didn't hear you. You said grizzly?
I said grizzly bear.
I super duper sneezed during that. And because I was at the trampoline park, my abs hurt so bad. And when I sneeze, it's like murder. I have to go now, Josh, because I sneezed twice and my abs are killing me. All
right, that's fair. I feel like if I was to sneeze right now, I have so much sinus pressure underneath my right eye that it might just blow out.
Oh, you gotta hold your eye in when you do the sneeze?
No, like my cheekbone will just explode and everything will come out of it.
I thought you meant your eye was gonna pop out.
There's a lot of surface tension in there.
Oh, buddy.
But
you gotta get...
My fever broke last night, so we are on the downhill from here.
Hey, that's good. Yeah, you're on the mend. Lots of fluids. Get some protein. Get like those like little like a 4-pack of Muscle Milk drink and take medicine with that, because protein helps medicine take purchase better.
Mm.
So it's pro tip from me to you this holiday season. Anyway, we're going to see you on Monday for the Bear Necessities. But until then,
may the power protect you. All right, ready?
Yep.
let me wet the old whistle here.
Yeah, get that whistle wet. Can't do a podcast with a dry whistle.
Ridiculous.